Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And I am not Andrew David James.
No, no, you are Michael Sterling.
I am?
I'm hoping today? Someday to work up to being Michael Sterling. Every day I comb my hair
a little
better. I talk to more people. None of them know me, though. Everybody knows you, Michael. How come nobody knows me?
I don't know. You're new in town, I would
right?
say. Well, because you live in Malibu.
That's
you're so fashionable.
What
right?
that means is I go to the beach too much and don't work enough. So.
There you go. There you go.
Michael, how you been, man? Great to see
I've
you.
Been well, thank you. Out and about during the week, and which we're going to talk about some of those things later in the show today.
Yeah.
And just trying to adjust to the California tricky weather. You know, it's if it's not raining, it gets sunny for a day or two, and then it looks like what we're having today, which is a little overcast, and that makes me kind of depressed, actually. So
really?
Yeah.
What's funny?
The rain I love.
Yeah.
That in between? No, not so
much. I can't
much.
Decide how to dress when I leave the house. I leave the house in a t-shirt. It's bound to be cold by the end of the day.
Sure.
If I leave the house in a jacket, I'm sure to lose it somewhere when I set it down because it's too hot.
And your kids must have the same problem, and your wife.
You know what? My kids don't care. My kids will jump in freezing cold water in the middle of the winter. I'm blown away by that. But I, as a dad, I'm like, oh, man, I better have the right clothes so they don't, you know, catch pneumonia and die, which I hear is a parenting fail. People are really against you letting your children die from cold these days. They think that's very serious.
I fight with my children all the time. Clothing. I'm like, no, you are taking it. And they're like, but I'm not cold. I'm like, no, you are cold.
Do you ever find like a weird spare pair of underwear in the back of your car or something? You're like, okay, this is my kid's underwear. When exactly did they just take off their pants?
Oh, I was gonna answer yes, but I don't have
I haven't found underwear in my car in many, many years.
But who wears underwear anymore? It's 2017.
I can always tell when they have Applejack from My Little Pony on them. Okay, those aren't mine because I only wear Twilight Sparkle. I never wear Applejack anymore.
Maybe the creepiest conversation about underwear.
Really?
And that I've heard.
Suddenly,
I'm not saying something.
And if anybody knows where there's some gray old-fashioned boxers, you know, call us.
Right.
And we have a guest that's looking for
gray
them,
so. Boxers loose, please.
Yes.
Loose.
Our
loose.
Show is blowing up in the underwear fetish rooms all over the country now.
Absolutely.
Nothing
now
that
the
hugs
furry's
too
next.
Much.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, in case you can't tell, we are not going to take the high road today. This is going to be a raucous and fun show.
Whee!
But before we do that, Michael, should we thank our sponsors?
I think we should, Andrew. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed, and in studio with us today, Andrew, as you know, are a couple of real swells, an actress and a popular TV personality. She's also one of the top comedians working today. The gorgeous Carla Collins is here.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, boys. Hi, fellas. You're kind of swell yourselves. And I was told I had to sit next to Michael, but I'm pretty impressed by the fact that Andrew David James has three first names.
See,
isn't it?
I'm ready to be an
assassin
at any moment.
You had to be in radio.
He confuses
that's right.
kids.
Yeah. That's right.
Kids.
Take that's
it.
Right.
So if either of your kids go missing, you'll have a particular set of skills and three names.
It's perfect. See, and my agent said it would never work. Look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, joining that is a playwright, performer, and successful voiceover artist. Please welcome Terry. And Terry, could you say your last name for us?
Marados.
Terry Marados.
You have to say it down here.
That's right. I can't do that Terry Marados sexy voice. Darcy. Ladies and gentlemen, Terry Marados is here. Yeah. What a joy to have you guys
chair.
Here today.
Next to the girly chair.
So do you think people should laugh in life in general? Or are you guys extremely serious people? I can tell the mood dropped a lot
serious.
When you walked in.
Serious.
All pestilence and scariness, right?
No, I'm as deep as a lunch tray. I can't with the serious. I can't even see videos that are grab the tissues. I'm like, what, are you crazy? I cried during episodes of Modern Family. I cried during Napoleon Dynamite. I can't. I'm more sensitive than a nipple. That's not for me. That's not for me. I need to, and I think now.
What age?
Dare I say it?
Oops.
Any, really. I think now more than ever, we've got to be laughing because that's it's free. You know, when Obamacare gets repealed, I've just been calling my helpful Honda dealer when I've had any medical concerns. They're not bad. It gets weird. You
I
know,
love
if it's
Hondas.
Yeah.
I love Hondas, and I actually have towards the end of my play, I have. a couple lines, let's say, and I start laughing, because if I don't, I'm done.
Right.
And it's just something that I enjoy keeping in mind, and you know. Yes. So well,
as we know, laughter is an extremely important part. And today, State of the Arts is about laughter. And we're going to feature a couple really great comic shows, as well as some other great shows going on around the city. But before we do that, Michael, and I saw you a little bit, I'm dying to know, how was your week? Did you do anything interesting or fun without me? Well, and if so, why wasn't I invited?
Not necessarily without you. We did one thing together.
That's right.
That was enough, so yeah.
Thanks a lot. You know, I get that a lot. All my girlfriends always said that through high school. You know what? Once was enough. That's
once
good.
But I was never your girlfriend.
Just once.
One-hit wonder.
Exactly.
Michael, tell me about what you did outside.
Well, I do want to talk about this thing. Did we all see Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Not yet.
Carla has not.
I know.
My people did go. I did not.
You
I've
did
been
not.
Really busy.
Are these your spawns? Your young people went?
Yes.
I see. Not agents and representatives.
Yes. No.
Okay, good.
I must
have those.
Your people went. Try.
My child. My
does that mean your children?
Several children. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
My partner, my girlfriend, and my little young girl.
Okay. Yes. And okay. Well, at least they went because they are part of a phenomenon that's happening right now. I had to. Lunch with a friend of mine who is the head of Disney publicity animation.
Of course.
And we talked about the film, of course, and the astonishing amount of money that it made in its first 3 days,
right.
$174 million.
Yeah.
And on Monday of this week, it had jumped up to $800 million,
wow.
And they are expecting to be over $1 billion by this weekend.
Wow.
Escape. The whole family can go, and it just reinforces that sitcom stereotype where a big, you know, hulking, not so attractive man gets a hot chick.
Yeah.
And I think men like that. Like,
I believe in that so much. I've never seen it in actuality, but boy, I believe in that.
It's all over TV and movies.
That's right.
Lamborghini. That's right.
Well, and what's interesting is Disney is already prepping a new version of it. I mean, the same film, but a new version as a sing-along.
Wow.
So you know. That's going to...
Wow.
Like the Sound of Music sing-along
exactly.
type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I have that in my car on a regular basis. Whenever the Gaston song comes on, my kids start blaring it from the back seat.
What was really... I am scared of that, actually. What was the movie, Do You Want to Be a Snowman?
Oh, Frozen. Yeah.
Frozen. I went to Disneyland when Frozen was at its peak, and literally we would stand in line, and they would put that over the speakers in the park, and kids would just stop,
scream,
step, and just say, "Do you want to be a snowman?"
That's right.
Look off a million miles away, and like the whole park would just kind of go into pause.
It's like Illuminati for kids,
right?
Which is us.
How has that never been registered? That's a great thing, Illuminati
that's
for
that's
kids.
That's my tribe. Illuminati for kids.
Boy, oh boy!
So you saw it, obviously, and you loved it.
Again,
Michael,
I'm going a second time now,
wow.
But I'm going to iPick to see it. Have
oh, cool.
You know this?
I do, but I've never seen it there.
I've never been to an iPick theater until this coming Sunday.
Cool.
Do you know about it? iPick?
No.
iPick, you go, it's like $35 a ticket or $40 a ticket. Somebody's offered to take me. I said, you may. And it's gourmet dinner. It's amazing lounge chairs. You feel like you're in the first class
people
of a big
asleep,
airplane.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of snoring when you're watching a movie in iPick. Like, my friend fell asleep during The Martian and was like, didn't seem like a big ordeal, you know, because he was left there, and then all of a sudden he was rescued. She felt it was like maybe a weekend. Not that big a deal for Matt Damon, but that's what happens at the iPick, but totally worth it.
Where is that located?
There's one in Westwood, and there's one in Pasadena.
Okay.
It's the two that I'm aware of.
There was one towards Marina Del Rey also. But
possibly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, no, that's the Howard Hughes maybe down there. Yeah.
Probably not so.
I will check it out.
Luxury.
Anybody would like to offer me tickets?
Sounds like we got a field trip coming up.
I think we should roll with Michael's friends.
That's right. At any rate, what about you, sir?
It was a good week. Obviously, you and I had a great chance to go to the Falcon Theater, which was fantastic.
We did.
And I, of course, went to go see Elevator at the Coast Playhouse. Did you see any other plays this week? Were you out and about in theater, or did you?
I went to the theater to see a play, and then odd thing happened. It was at the first of all a revival of Bye Bye Birdie.
Wow,
that's a long time ago, but one of the fun musicals. And at the beautiful Glendale Center Theater, 400 seats in the round, I went before to one of my favorite haunts over there in Glendale, to Damon's restaurant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know Damon's?
I do not.
You do not.
Now, Damon's, listen, you're a baller, Michael, and we're just here to live vicariously through you, obviously. So.
I'm finding underwear in my car.
I know.
I'm looking for gray
underwear.
We're comedians.
It's good because I just lost a pair.
I'm like, you know, like I just stole a coffee cup from an IHOP, but continue.
Damon's is institutional. It's probably been around for nearly 70 years, I would say. And it is was the inspiration for Walt Disney, who used to take his Imagineers there for lunch to inspire them, because when Disneyland was being built, and what happened is that the Tiki Room was born out of one of those lunches.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So Damon's is exactly like the Tiki Room in Disneyland. Well, and minus the birds talking and singing, but got some.
I've been trying to get some tiki furniture for a while,
There's
a
whole tiki underground. There's a whole culture, right? Like people have tiki parties. It's really big, especially in the Southwest here, I find.
Yeah. So just to cap that little reason why I brought up Bye Bye Birdie was because, so I went to the theater. They were oversold. I had seats you know, that were put aside and available to me. However, there were so many people that were very disappointed that they came and they couldn't accommodate them. It's unusual for this theater to do that. I don't know how it happened. They actually asked, the producers asked from the stage if anybody was, like, you know, you get on a plane, they'll ask this, exactly.
Right. Do you have any volunteers?
Yes, exactly.
What did they offer you?
To come back on, you know, complimentary basis.
Not good enough. Need cash.
For the whole season, they said.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
So I gave my seat away because there was a woman sitting next to me whose husband was one of those people. He came later and he couldn't get in. I said, we're going to make this happen. So I relinquished my seat and got a round of applause, actually, from the audience.
Whoa.
That was
Michael's
worth it.
Still
in
getting
itself,
standing
wasn't
ovations.
It?
Impressive.
Right.
Impressive.
So I figured I will see it elsewhere or come to another one of their shows that they're offering to me. So
next time I'm in a show that's bombing, I'm just going to stand up and give somebody my seat and try to get some applause going. It's pretty impressive.
Absolutely.
What a match.
Shall we bring in our beautiful first guest?
I think we should, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest was named Comedian of the Year by the Southern California Motion Picture Council. She is an award-winning actress, television and radio host, and best-selling author. She has appeared in numerous movies and television shows in both the U.S. and Canada and performs comedy in clubs, theaters, and festivals all over North America. North America. How did that what was that? She currently stars in the web series Carla Collins Come Clean and is a regular celebrity panelist on Super Channel's Too Much Information, which last night I saw just by happenstance.
Really?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Cool.
And you were on it, and it was very funny.
Oh, good.
And she is currently shooting the pilot sitcom she developed and wrote about stand-up comedy at funerals called The Last Laugh.
Yep.
But she's here today to talk about her starring role in Murder Anyone, produced, written, and directed by the Emmy Award-winning Gordon Bresek, on stage now at the Whitefire Theater in Sherman Oaks, California, through June 7th. Please welcome the one and only Carla Collins.
How are you, Brian?
So good. I'm already having a blast with you, boys.
Yeah?
Because I'm obviously...
Let's stop now while we're ahead.
There's a lot of sexual tension between Michael and I. And ironically enough, Andrew David James is my safe word.
See?
So,
something I've never been accused of being a safe word in my life. Well, Carla, it is such a thrill to have you here, but you got to tell me about this show. This is a funny show, right?
Why I'm here. It is a really funny show.
And you're a stand-up comedian by trade.
Yes, I went into stand-up. I've been a full-time stand-up since about 2011.
Most stand-up comedians I know and I've worked with will not put up with funny that's not really funny. If they're in a show and it's not really funny, they walk out of the show. Is that true with you? Will you handle bad comedy or will you just push your way through?
What kind of a show do you mean? A stage show?
Any kind of show. I worked with an actor named Alex Cole, who is a great young comedian, and I once saw him go into an audition. He had the role. Everybody was loving him. He said, "Yeah, I'm really glad to meet you all, but I can't do this because the writing is so bad." He left the room. They called him back and said, "Can you help us rewrite it? Because we agree with you." So comedians are pretty stand up when it no pun intended.
Well,
I'm
a sellout, so I would be like, "No, that's fine. You need a dancing tampon? All right. What's the pay?" No, I mean, I like to be polite about it.
My first three roles in Hollywood.
I'm a pretty good room, I have to say. A lot of comedians, that's a tough crowd. You know, comedians watching other comedians, that's traditionally the cliche. I like everything from the Three Stooges to Oscar Wilde. I mean, I just don't
You're
like...
You're not a snob.
I'm not a snob, but I don't like hack. You know, I don't want the feminine jokes or fat jokes or the stuff that I think, come on.
You're not going to like the show. That's all we do here. So,
but and I have to say, the artistic director, Brian Rasmussen, who's a very good friend of mine at the Whitefire Theater, sent me this script. And it's so good because his comedy is really tough. And you know, I've read a lot of things in LA where I'm, where's the funny part? You have to find the funny. It's not a G-spot. I think it should leap off the page. I don't want to have to find it with, like, you know, Waze or GPS. So Gordon is, as you know, he's the mind of Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain. And I just thought it was so exceptional. I wasn't even in the country. I didn't think I'd be able to do it scheduling-wise, but it's such a great play, so ridiculous and hilarious, and the role is fantastic. Yeah. It's just ham. I'm obviously have the range of, you know, Fisher Price walkie talkies, so I'm a pretty big performer. So this is delicious for me.
Well, it's great. It sounds hilarious, and I got to read little excerpts of it. The script really is very funny. There's a lot of humor that does jump right off that page at you.
I want to ask you a question. You being a female comedian, do you have your favorite comedians, and do you also have your not so favorite comedians on a list somewhere in your pocket?
Yes, let me check my pocket. I do have favorite comedians, obviously. Well, we lost a legend today, Don Rickles. Mm-hmm. He's you know, masterful. You have to respect that. Even if, I mean, Joan Rivers, maybe not in my top three, but I have to say, who remained relevant for like 7 decades? That's unbelievable, and you know, master of the one-liners. So I like a lot of the old-timey comedians. Currently, my God is Louis C.K. and has been for years, even before he became like a mega superstar. Right. I like Bill Maher for politics.
Yes, always very clever.
I have to say, probably number one, two, right there. Oh, it's a photo finish with C.K. is Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
I love Wanda Sykes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I, you know, there are quite a few that I really.
What
you know,
about somebody that's a little bit really out there, as far as I'm concerned? So much so that I kind of find it offensive, and it takes a lot for me to feel like that. Mm-hmm. Is Lisa Lampanelli?
I don't mind Lisa because she owns what she does. That's her.
Well, she does do that.
And
she doesn't, you know, there's no holds barred with her.
No.
I mean, you get what you see, and that's why people go to see her.
And some people, I think, really shine in different venues. Like, Lisa is killer on the roasts. You watch a Comedy Central roast, you're going to enjoy Lisa, mm-hmm. who can take the laughs along with everyone. I mean, I think everybody, there's some that are better at improvising. Some that, I mean, I'm a big fan of dark humor right now. It's very slimming. And so, you know, I like it to be intelligent, but I like the goofy silliness, too. So I think, you know, a lot of, and as I said before, it's just the hack. If I'm hearing stuff that I think is 20 years old, like people who don't refresh their, you know, is that a Donna Rice joke? What? No. She's, are you kidding me? You know, if you're still rolling out your Reagan era stuff, you're going to lose me. And, you know, I also think, I think if you're going to do the scatological, make sure it's funny.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, if you're going to use the F-bomb as an adverb, let there be a joke with it.
Right.
I have no problem with it being dirty or edgy, but it can't just be like some horrific word.
You want the funny to actually
be there. Funny to be there as well.
Not just to hear people laugh because they feel like it's time to laugh.
And look, comedy is very subjective, so, you know, that's the thing about it. But, yeah, specifically, like I said, when, you know, when women are like, I'm bloated, nope, I shut out. I'm not listening to that. I don't want to. And, you know, so when guys like, I pooped myself. Really? It seems like an alarming amount of men are doing that. One time, 4 guys on stage. So I just think, you know, unless it's a really clever I pooped myself joke that like Sartre would be, bravo, then, you better really bring something original. So.
So now you stepped directly out of, I believe, a 1.5-hour one-woman solo show that you tour. Is that correct?
Yeah, when I do, if I headline, I can do an hour.
And now
half,
you're on stage, sharing the stage with other actors in a play. Is there one medium that you find more rewarding, or are they just different art forms?
Well, first of all, they're both live and immediate gratification. Sure. I have the patience of a toddler, so that appeals to me. And I love working off of, I mean, this, I have to say that, like, this cast is really strong.
Well, tell us about the plot, actually. So, what's happening?
That's tough. It's sort of a play within a play. There are two writers sort of finding they're writing a play. And one of the writers really wants it to be a movie because it's L.A. and we have 12 people in a black box theater.
So he wants to make money.
He wants to make money. And the other one's more his artistic side. So there's a struggle going on, and it becomes a funny classic murder mystery. And then the rest of us are sort of acting it out as they write and as they change it. and then it just becomes progressively more and more ridiculous. So there's a meta quality. I love that it's about the industry. Gordon's also, you know, he's a phenomenal writer, and so he's very secure. So the ad-libbing, he's let us, I mean, there's I ad-lib stuff differently every night, which is great for me, and I love doing it. And because we have this in the strong cast, everybody is also doing it. I mean, it's a cast with really great comedic timing, so I was lucky, and it's kind of fun to work with other people on a stage. So it's different for me. I haven't done a lot of plays, to be honest.
Well, the show we're talking about here today is Murder Anyone, which runs April 5th through June 7th. Is that correct? So a good long run at the Whitefire Theater.
Every Wednesday.
But it's only Wednesday at 8 p.m., right? Wednesday at 8 p.m.
It's part of a whole series of shows that run just one day a week.
Which is a great idea there. You can go see theater any day of the week. Right. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. Whitefire is in a great location, too.
Love the Whitefire. Yeah, it's a fantastic venue. So.
Tickets are $25, and there's a group rate and a senior rate and a student rate as well. The Whitefire is located at 13500 Ventura Boulevard right here in Sherman, California, and tickets are very easy to get if you just log on and check out the Whitefire's website. You can find that there, or you can go to Brown Paper Tickets.
And some good restaurants in that area as well around that
That's
theater
right.
to get there
make
early.
A
and,
of it.
Yeah, get there early
right.
and have some great food and go across the street.
It's a nice, again, I think right now you'll go in, you'll laugh for an hour and just escape. Because, you know, it's kind of crazy times.
The
so
way you described it kind of sounds like a modern-day Agatha Christie on speed or something.
Exactly. I think it's Agatha Christie on crack.
And how do we know she wasn't, really, when you think about
it? I'm pretty sure. We had the same dealer for a while. So I have to say, yeah, so I think that's what's great about it. You know, you're in and out like a Navy SEAL. You're laughing.
Right.
You forget about all the cuckoo-ness happening and just enjoy.
And did you say it's an hour and a half? Is that what you said?
No. That's my comedy show because I enjoy tantric.
Okay.
But no, I don't.
That joke was too smart for me. I need to go look up tantric.
No, it's just an hour long. So
cool.
Yeah,
it's a one act, correct?
Yes, but you'll see. There's a lot of stuff going on, guys, that I don't want to give away.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
no
surprise,
spoiler alerts.
Don't
surprise,
ask too many questions.
It's
that's
like
right.
The Sixth Sense, but hilarious.
Well, but you know, I think
it's
what
M. Night Shyamalan on
you said
on
something.
Mushrooms.
You said something about the fact that your director lets you ad lib, and as well he should. I mean, especially someone like yourself. But I think that's the beauty of the live arts. Even if you weren't a comedian or you weren't told that you couldn't ad lib. It's going to happen. Things happen.
Things happen.
And it will never be the same show the next night or the next night or the next night.
Exactly. And I think that's magical, and that's what separates it sometimes from television or some of the other art forms.
So true.
Totally.
So you're live on stage, and you feed off that energy of the audience, too. So.
And that audience at the Whitefire is like right there with you.
It's a very intimate. Yeah. It's a great venue that way. Yeah, they're almost on stage with you.
Yes, so don't sit in the first room unless you're actually
like
want to be on
it's
stage.
It's like a comedy lap dance. Thank you. I was waiting.
A comedy
sooner
lap
or later,
dance.
That seems to happen.
Be careful.
To
we
me.
May sell more tickets if we market the show that way. So.
I have no trouble. We want to, because really, that theater should be full. People should see. Like,
it
this,
should.
Can I quickly just mention the cast?
Please do.
There's Jack Zullo and Devin Calderon. They're playing the writers. Abraham Smith and Liesl Jackson, Bruce Clifford, and then yours truly bring it. What the writers are writing to life. And they're lovely people. When does that happen?
That's great.
You mean the actors?
Yes.
Have you ever eaten with one?
I thought you said, did you ever eat one? Wow, it's really it's
look, we dig. We hit the hard-hitting
vegan.
Questions here
have,
on State
is that
of
the new
arts.
Paleo diet? Was I supposed to?
Ladies
that
and gentlemen,
weird.
The show we're talking about here is Murder Anyone at the Whitefire Theater. Again, that's only on Wednesdays nights at 8 p.m., and it's now through June 7th. Easiest way to get tickets is just to go to brownpapertickets.com and type in Murder Anyone. No punctuation of any kind. It sounds great. What a good show.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Very absolutely. That's awesome. So speaking of comedy, we should move into the arts calendar and talk about the complete history of comedy abridged at the Falcon Theater.
Which is only the Falcon Theater, I believe, through the end of the season because they're changing the name to the Gary Marshall
yes,
Theater.
Yes, they are.
Very appropriately after the great Gary Marshall who passed away just recently.
And yes.
And this was the last show of the season at the Falcon that he picked, hand-picked. And he couldn't have done a better job as far as selecting a great show for his audience. This is by the people, the Reduced Shakespeare Company, who did History of Shakespeare abridged and, of course, History of America abridged, all these other ones. It's in the same vein of that by the same gentleman, only this is performed not by the company members. members. It's by the Falcons cast. And I thought they did a great job. I thought Zara was hilarious, and both Marks were very, very funny. The thing I found most poignant, though, was the ukulele song that she did. I thought it was so well put together and so beautifully thought out that it kind of showed what comedy is about, which is, yeah, we got to laugh, but we're laughing because if we don't, we might cry. And I thought that was really a very sweet bit of information that they were able to convey to the audience that way.
Well, I agree with you with regard to the performances of the cast. Again, Zahra Fazzal, Mark Ginsburg, and Mark Jacobson. However, I felt that they were far more talented than the material. You know?
I mean,
it really... excuse me. It's a lot of comedy in a very little amount of time. I mean, the standard amount of time with an intermission and everything, but they have to pack so much into it that it's so rapid fire that a lot of it doesn't work. Instead of it being a little more flushed out, because there are some references to the very old comedy that half the audience doesn't understand because of their age.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that was something that maybe wasn't taken into consideration, or clearly, or maybe it wasn't a matter to be taken into consideration.
It's I heard ukulele song and thought, well, that's random.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I was moved by the poignant ukulele song, a sentence I've never heard in my life.
It was amazing,
honest.
And I think that's part of what worked for me. I agree with you that some parts of the script didn't work as well as others, but I thought that from beginning to end, there was a consistent comedy through line that Mark and Zara and that Mark brought.
Yes,
and
they
that
did.
It said... kind of, we're here to laugh, and we're going to have a good time. I think one of the things that if you're going to go see this show, you want to be sure that you do, is that you don't go in with expectations of this had better be exactly what I think it is. Because Reduced Shakespeare Company is known for, you know, the two-minute Hamlet, where they do the entire Hamlet in 2 minutes. And what it comes out to is if you want to go see a show where you're going to sit, you're going to have a good time and laugh in a really comfortable area with some really talented performers, this is a great show for that, History of Comedy Abridged. If you're looking for maybe the best writing of all time, this one probably isn't it, I agree. But did you laugh? I laughed out loud multiple
I did.
Times.
I didn't laugh out loud. And that's the sign of my enjoyment with comedy is when it propels me to do so. I can appreciate something and be entertained by it, but laughing out loud is reserved for very...
Yikes.
Good theater and or a good movie.
Well, I did laugh out loud. I found two or three things that were really quite funny, but more than anything, I had a good time and I left the theater feeling good. And I think one of the things this does, it is a satirical look at comedy. They look at it and they say, look, comedy has had a lot of different places in our times. Sometimes it's very, very lowbrow and sometimes it's higher brow. So it was interesting to watch that. And I think the audience had varying reactions as well, don't you, Michael?
Yes, absolutely. And Joanne Worley, one of the great comedians
of
our generation, was sitting there, and I kind of felt a little funny at the end of the show because they were introducing certain people, and she wasn't introduced.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
She was like in the fourth row center, just waiting to be introduced, probably. But
you think they should have called her out and said, and ladies and gentlemen, here tonight?
Well, I think so. She
would have gotten applause.
Very
man.
Regular face at the
She
Falcon.
Is so funny. Do you remember we saw her on stage one time, and she went up on stage with her dog and her purse, and the dog was just squirming around the whole time?
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, and she was doing her act.
Yeah, she was great.
Well, by no means should you not go to see this, because it is funny, and as our guest said to earlier, Carla said that comedy is very subjective, and it is that. But the experience of just being in a theater and having a show of that's polished and professional and it looks beautiful, the set was amazing, the costumes, everything worked, you know, in that sense of what they were doing. You should check it out because the tickets are very, very affordable. And this is, of course, the Falcon Theater, and it runs through the, what was the opening night? Was March 31st, and it runs through April 23rd. And the theater is located on beautiful Riverside Drive in Burbank, right at the intersection of Toluca Lake there. And performances are Wednesday through Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 4 p.m. And for tickets, simply go to falcontheater.com.
Or you can, of course, call 818-955-8101.
Yes. Indeed.
Another great way. Obviously, anytime you go to the Falcon, you know you're going to have people who treat theater with respect and do a nice job. It's always an enjoyable time for me. And it was fun to see some of the faces who came out to see Comedy Abridged. I think that's a fun thing to see at the Falcon, too. It's a very popular go-to place. So now, we also saw a couple other shows this week. I know that I was at the Elevator at the Coast Playhouse. Have you had a chance to see that
yet? I have not.
It's interesting. It's very similar to Jean-Paul Sartre's No Exit. You know, I think the mantra, hell is other people, was very, very well played out there. They also, I think the playwright also tried very hard to say that redemption is other people as mm-hmm. well, which, you know, of course, our good friend John Paul did not care to say in his. So when you sat at the Coast Playhouse, what you saw was a modern version of existentialist thinking. You saw people going, what would happen if you really were trapped in an elevator? Now, if I'm really trapped in an elevator, generally speaking, you try to stay calm. You don't go into a big cathartic moment where you yell at everybody and say your deepest thoughts. But I could see being trapped in an elevator and doing that. And that's very much what this is. Everybody goes through a tremendous catharsis in this show. They all leave different than they came in. And I think in general, that's what the playwright was trying, Michael Leone is the playwright mm-hmm. and the director. I think that's what he was trying to get across. To varying degrees, the cast succeeded in that. I thought Devin Workshire or Werkheiser?
Werkheiser, yeah.
Yeah, he did. He's a young musician and he was very likable from the beginning. And his cathartic moment was very well played out. But his vocal stylings were just fantastic. I mean, he's really a great young musician.
I heard some of his cuts off of his CD and a couple of his music videos.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
The set was done by David Goldstein, who did a great job, and Michael Mullen, a good friend and a good friend of the show and a good friend of mine, did the costumes, and he's always fantastic. He's costuming everything these days. But in general, I thought walking into the theater was very unusual because you walk through a building that is under construction and you kind of sit down in those seats, and the set designer had done a fantastic job of presenting that elevator script, the elevator scenes, in a way that were very compelling, mm-hmm. And also the terror that we all have of stepping into an elevator and looking at their certificate to see when it was last serviced, you know. So
excuse me.
I want to tell real quick my memory of Don Rickles today before we move on. He was on the Dick Van Dyke Show in an episode called 4A or 4B or something like that, and it was about Mary Tyler Moore's pregnant with their first child, and Dick Van Dyke has taken her to the doctor, and Don Rickles decides to hold him up in the elevator, and he uses a comb to hold him up, and it's Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore and Don Rickles trapped in an elevator.
Wow.
And it was hilarious. So it's funny, elevator comedy is something that I think it plays into our fears of what would happen if we were trapped in that small
space. That's Sartre,
so.
The musical.
Right.
What an amazing mind he had.
He did.
To the bitter end.
No doubt. No doubt. I saw him at Joffrey's one time out near me, and he was hassling the waiter, and the waiter was loving every minute of it. You know, he knew he needed to perform because that's what people expected from him.
And, you know, conversely, I had the pleasure of meeting him privately in his dressing room in Las Vegas, and I was there with my client Andy Gibb, and Andy was headlining at a hotel, the Riviera, after Don was there. And Don's assistant, it was this very elegant, regal 65-year-old woman dressed in Chanel and just beautiful. You know, she came out to the table and brought us back, and it was very unexpected.
Wow.
Right? And to go into the dressing room, and he actually, there's a whole other side of Don Rickles, and you know, when he's not on that stage. And he couldn't have been more charming. He was dressed impeccably in yet another suit. He wears a suit on stage, but in a totally different suit just to receive his guests.
Wow.
So we spent about a half hour just getting to know him. It was very, very sweet.
There was a story that was making the rounds about him this morning that says that he would pick somebody out in the audience and just embarrass him almost to the point of tears. And then every time he did that, no matter who he did it to, and audiences, of course, expected it when they came to the show, he would then send them a bottle of champagne. You know, they not only got this honor of being ribbed by Don Rickles, but then they also... you know, he sent him a goodwill gesture as well to say, hey, this is just what I do, which I thought was very classy.
Classy man. Yes,
so if you
indeed.
Want to see the elevator at the Coast Playhouse, you can call for tickets at 232-960-7776. And again, the Coast Playhouse is there in West Hollywood. They do a good job. You can tell they care a lot about what they're presenting, and they really love theater. It's a nice place to go visit. And if you haven't been to the Coast Playhouse, we definitely encourage you to go check it out.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of classy men, Andrew...
Yeah, but you're not talking about me. You're talking about this good-looking guy next to me.
I am.
You? Unbelievable. I never get classy adjectives. Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest...
Kind of looks like he's...
Our next guest began his theater career in New York. He performed in the great off-Broadway venues like To Do Kannada and in Miss Universal Happiness by Richard Foreman and M at the Piano Store
Wait
in
Samurai. Wait a minute. Back up a
right?
second.
Right, yeah.
Back up. Broadway venues like what?
To Do Kannada?
How about Toto, maybe, right?
Toto?
Yeah.
Is it Toto?
I was going to say it, but it wasn't my
Where's
voice.
That at in New York?
It's down on the Lower East Side.
I've never been there.
Yeah.
And you have to run that together. Toto Kannada.
Toto Kannada. Got
it. Basement. You got to go down some steps to get in there.
I love it. And you were there in Miss Universal Happiness, is
Miss
that correct?
Richard Foreman played.
Of course, a great piece, yeah.
And he actually came to the play. The director was... Sweating. And wow. It was summertime, so sweating comes very easily on the Lower East Side in right? New York City.
And then, of course, he was an M at the Piano Store in Samurai before making his way uptown to the Ensemble Studio Theater. In Los Angeles, he has performed at Circle X, the Odyssey Theater, and in Mike O'Malley's Diverting Devotion. I've never heard of that show. Is that a popular show? Has it been done a lot?
It's a play.
It was an original play.
Michael Malley's
of course.
He's written a couple plays, actually.
It was at the Hudson Theater, right?
At the Hudson, that's right. Among many, many others, his television credits include Low Life, Homeland, The Bridge, CSI Miami, Sex and the City, and many more.
You had that vibe?
He looked very familiar, but I wasn't sure. But then I just kind of want him to read Variety to me because he's got that great voice, so...
Perfect, right? His most recent indie film appearances have included Interpreters, directed by Michael Ryan. He is also an accomplished voiceover actor, as if we couldn't tell, Mr. Voiceover Actor, and has done more than 50 commercials. With his close friend and collaborator, Eric Van Wyk, is that correct? Eric Van Wyk. He has co-written two screenplays, Life Untitled and Marco Polo, and One Pilot Drived. Oh, I see. That's not the name of the show, Pilot Drived. It's a pilot called Drive.
Yes.
Very nice. His newest play, Goonie, a world premiere which he has written and in which he stars, is first previewed tonight and officially opens tomorrow night, April 7th, at the Atwater Village Theater in Los Angeles through May 5th. Let's give a warm, happy, state-of-the-arts welcome to Terry Morados. You've done a lot of work.
Second time. We're done.
You've worked as a writer, as an actor. What do you like better? Do you like writing or acting better?
Neither. I'm looking for an exit plan, actually, right now.
You just want to be a trophy wife.
I do. I have a friend that has a used car lot in Fontana. I texted him last night. I said, you know what? It's time. I'm coming to you. And he's like, you can't deal with the hours. I'm like, you know what? As long as I get a paycheck at the end of it,
right?
I'll
guaranteed.
Be happy. Yeah.
If you had to pick one, what would you do for the rest of your life other than selling used cars?
I love the peace that comes with sitting down and writing and how time kind of stands still. But I do lust for attention.
Yeah.
So I do like acting, and I like the idea of interpreting things.
I had the rare opportunity to listen to some of your voiceover work, and you obviously have such a great voice. But it's interesting, too, because as an actor turning into a voice actor, you still have the ability to deliver such a character face through your words, which is really cool because people can see your face just by hearing your voice. I've always thought that was the mark of a great voiceover actor, if you can almost picture their face in your mind when you're hearing their voice.
Yeah. Voiceovers have been good to me. It's slowed down a little bit right now, but... It is actually how I kind of got my start in New York. I was working at a restaurant on Broadway called Molivos, which was kind of in the theater district. And this great guy, Roger Tallman, I was kind of reading off the specials, and he's like, whoa, wait.
Wow.
Do you do voiceovers? And I said,
nice.
I don't. And then he kind of went on to say, hey, I have a studio here on 46th Street. Why don't you come by tomorrow? And I was like, this doesn't entail me of dressing up as Little Ball Pete, does it? which is one of my favorite lines from Fletch, who
right?
I love. Chase.
Love Fletch. So just watched it the other day. It really holds up,
both
too,
of them
by the
do,
way.
Actually.
Both
Fletch
of them do.
Lives too.
And it still rocks. It really does.
To
it
me, I love that kind of dry.
Yeah.
I was thinking Ryan Reynolds would be great in a Fletch remake. What do you think?
I think Ben Affleck has bought the rights to Fletch.
Really?
He should cast Ryan Reynolds.
Right? I may be making things up right now.
I wonder if Ben would direct or be in it.
I don't know. Yeah. But why are we not looking at me? Yeah.
That's a good question.
Exactly.
Well, I think
why
now
can't we have
there?
More of a Burt Reynolds / Roberto Benigni / Dustin Hoffman kind
there
of
there you go. We could God. Open up the lines.
Sure. I was just representing a fellow Canadian. I was hoping to get 10% of Reynolds' fee for that.
No, Reynolds is great. I really like Reynolds. But Mr. Tallman, I actually did go over there, and his sons worked there, and he kind of gave me some copy, and I put it together, and he picked up the phone and called a couple casting directors, and I got an agent that way, and they also had a commercial division, and then my first TV appearance was Sex and the City.
Wow.
And I had read for it 4 times. I had never watched the show, and it was huge back in that time. And Michael Patrick King, the creator, was always like, yeah.
A great mind.
It's not going to be this one, Terry, but we'll find something for you after I'd read. And I was like, okay. And that happened, and it kind of got me to come over here. And, you know, as many of us, it's been an interesting road since then.
When did you move out to Los Angeles?
About 87 years ago, I think it was.
So you're looking great for your age.
I do. I moisturize. I moisturize quite a bit.
He's doing and all See, people are always like, you should go on a cleanse. And I'm like, what if only toxins are the only thing holding me together? So I'd risk that. But obviously, whatever you're doing.
Although, Carl, I do feel bloated today.
But coming for you.
She just walked out. She threw her headset down and she walked out.
That's it. You know, I'm leaving.
Terry, the show we're here to talk about today is Goonie. How did this show come about, and what can people expect to see when they go to see it?
The show Goonie is has been inspired by my daughter, and it is a play about a young father that is really trying to throw his 6-year-old girl a wonderful birthday party with a bouncy house, and he calls it an L.A. birthday.
Right.
This artisan cake and an all-girl band and extinct animals and a...
At least one Kardashian.
Pinata Kardashian. And you know, you go to these birthdays sometimes, and there's like, I'm just calculating, like, that had to cost $2,500, and that's another $600 right there. And you're like, wow. How did they do this?
Right.
You know, I have you know, raised the bar in the beginning of the show because after the party, his plan is to tell his daughter that he's going to move out, and he wants her to be left with this wonderful memory. And he has decided that he's going to do this because of a lot of stresses that have been going on in his life. In particular, his immediate family members, who each one of them suffers from a different mental illness. And he's decided not to invite any of them to the birthday, because if they come, they're going to ruin it. They all end up coming. Should I say what happens? Things get destroyed, and he finds himself through words that the young daughter says, finding a little surrender and peace in his agitation and frustration, and decides to stay in not only her life, but trying to be help them as well, and understanding mental illness and the challenges of, you know, if my sister heard me say mental illness, she would be on me right now, because she's like, labels! You know, she does not like
but
that.
But it's great to be discussed, though, too, so it's tricky because you need it to not be taboo.
But same time, you know, it's like...
And who doesn't? Come on, everyone suffers from mental illness.
Or we know somebody that does, and I have been, I've had several people around me, and my family members, and I've just always had it around me, and I'm the guy that walks down the street, and I have that one guy kind of come up to me and be like, yo, man, yo, I always say, you know, what kind of vibe you get from me, man? And I'm like, I get a really, really nice vibe, my friend.
A calm, peaceful vibe.
It's always been on my mind, you know, it's just as important as our physical health, obviously.
Exactly.
And
if not more.
We need to take the taboo away from it and you know, find some... find a willingness to deal with it better in our society in general. Mm-hmm. So this was my way of kind of expressing that.
So you are, it's a one-man show.
Yes, it is. I've written it like a play. The wonderful Lee Blessing, the playwright, who's a dear friend, was very patient in reading versions of it and kind of sitting me down in the beginning and saying, Terry, this is really good writing and interesting characters, but it's not a play.
Wow.
So I would kind of redo it, and I've written it with dialogue, and I play all the characters. Mm-hmm. And Jim Anzide, who directed it, who I have come to appreciate so much, he just understands the emotional kind of journey that I wanted to... Did I say journey?
Yes, you did.
That's so bad.
If you
very
see
LA.
My process at any point...
the process
once
of the
again,
journey
I'm,
takes,
oh, no, actors.
it's the Bermuda Triangle out there, Carla. You know what I mean? Things get very confusing.
Listen, I think your show sounds like a My Little Pony fever dream with a message. So I'm
nice.
Right? Carla Collins says, go now.
Carla Collins, please, Carla, tell anybody you want. And
you're talking about your director, who is one of the founding members of Circle X, company, right?
Yeah, Jim Enside. I love this guy. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, yeah. He's
so... Well, I think obviously, this is a great space for it, too. Yeah, the Atwater Village Theater. Have you performed there before in other shows?
I've performed there with Circle X.
Cool.
They have one of the spaces, and then the Ensemble Studio Theater is in the space in the front left, the smaller space, and then the Echo Theater has a space there also.
Cool.
And I will be using the back left space of the Echo Theater, but I've eliminated some seats because I'm trying to create a intimate space for it.
Is it a one act or?
It's a one. Yeah, it's 80 minutes. There is no intermission, and I'm just trying to figure out where I can try to take a small sip of water. Jim's like, no water.
Stand on
no
stage, man. Ever. Stand on
no
stage.
Water.
Use it.
Ladies
make it part
and
of your journey. you're journeying through the desert.
The play that we're talking about today is Goonie, which is a world premiere, and it's coming to the Atwater Village Theater this Friday, April 7th. Now, there's a preview performance as well. Is that correct?
Tonight. A very cool thing is attached to that. If you want to go, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this.
Pay what you can?
Yes.
Yes.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we love to get people out to see theater, especially new theater, because it is so important that we support the arts and that we keep pushing with great young playwrights and people who are doing new material. And a Pay What You Can night is a perfect chance to go see this. Plus, you're helping Terry out because he gets to find where his laughs are, which is always a good thing, too.
It's going to be a really tricky night. Yeah, I have not had, I've done it for my designers and stuff who are always kind of just staring at you, and they're just thinking like, oh, I'll put that up there. This light maybe go that way. It's not exactly, what I want. To be feeling out there, so it should be a really interesting time, and it makes the actor kind of feel like, well, it's not official game day, but it actually is.
How does your daughter feel about this?
My daughter is really excited to see it.
Yeah,
yeah. So and
she knows it's about her.
She knows it is about her, yeah, and she's a sensitive little creature. And Carla, did I just say creature?
I'm all for creature.
Okay,
I like creature.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
You're doing great.
All right, thank you. And she's eager to see it. She knows that she kind of understands that it's – a lot of it's fiction. Some of it is my own fears. I've always kind of thought about, what a parent feels like when they have to take that moment to sit down with their children and say, hey, you know what? Daddy's moving out right now.
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge thing. I've actually spent a lot of time thinking about that, and it's, I don't know. I kind of wanted to see where that kind of goes down. She's going to come, and actually now I've had a couple of her friends' parents say, well, it's a little late for me, so maybe if, my daughter can just come with yours.
Wow.
This is it's like a play date now.
Your dressing room is going to be Dora the Explorer, yeah.
You don't want to be in my dressing room. My dressing rooms are very dark, lonely. You can cut the fear in there with a saw.
The great thing about this is I think it's going to lead to a lot of customers for the tattoo parlor I plan on opening called Daddy Issues.
Nice.
So we can work in tandem that way.
That is so right.
The more the merrier.
Now, Terry, is the show family appropriate? Would it be good for kids to come see?
It depends on, the parents these days. I wouldn't say that it's for children.
Okay.
No. But I would say, for kids over the age of, 13, 14, that maybe, as I found myself giving a postcard to a young actor I saw in front of a little acting studio, and I was like, hey, man, come and watch this. You an actor? And he's like, well, first I said, are you an actor? And he said, yeah, I am. And I said, you should come and see this. It's just me for 80 minutes, and I played a bunch of different... I wanted to create something that had humor, and it was a dark comedy, and that I would want to go see. God, I forgot the question now.
I think it was how old are you, but we'll go back to that later. Ladies and gentlemen, the Pay What You Can performance is tonight. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, grab somebody, go down to the theater at the Atwater Village Theater, and you can see Goonie for a Pay What You Can night, April 6th, tonight at 8 p.m. Opening is set for tomorrow, April 7th at 8 p.m., and to get tickets, the easiest way to go to is www.goonie, that's Goonie with an I-E, theplay.com, or you can call 323-839-5086. Again, that number is 323-839-5086.
And the tickets are so affordable, $20 to see this man work.
$20. I will give you everything I have.
including
that's
the gray boxer
shorts
if he finds them.
We need the gray boxer shorts.
I guarantee you somebody's going to come up and take you up on
hours. students and seniors, 15.
Wow.
So. Terry. What about a senior student?
Great. Terry, Carla, we've come to...
We don't want them in
You
there.
Pay them.
We've come to a very special ending of our show that includes you. I trust Andrew.
We all get naked and dance? No, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for...
And now, embarrassing moments.
The voice of God. No kidding.
Yes.
We have, connections.
Ed Hall.
Is that what
show.
He sounds like?
We have a segment on the show where we ask performers who come on in here graciously, as you do today, to tell us a little bit about one moment in their careers where they had something happen that was so embarrassing they almost couldn't go on. It could be a live performance or maybe at a television shooting or a film shooting. Tell me, either one, have you anything that comes to mind?
It can be embarrassing. It can be
My whole
serious.
Life is just a string of humiliating moments. Like, I remember when I first got here, I went to the Kabbalah Center, and they say each humiliation, like, you
right.
rise,
lifts you up, right?
Lifts you up, and I'm like orbiting the Earth.
I'm
just trying to go
right
from
now.
One humiliation to another moment of shame. I don't know. Recently I've been telling this because I don't know if you gentlemen are aware, but you are looking at sexual catnip. To every man.
Now there's a tattoo
really?
For you.
Over 90. That is my, you know, everybody has a target market. And for me, it's like Shriners and seniors. They love me. So I played at a retirement home where I should have had danger pay. I think people don't really, yeah, the guy's like, you know, honey, when I was in World War II, oh, am I dating myself? I'm like, you're carbon dating yourself. And I live in Malibu, so they're free range there. And then they have money. So they, you know, they figure they have a shot. And this is a hand-to-God story. This is after my show, and the organizers and I are talking, and an old guy, and they're like ninja fast, and some of them are strong if they don't have a walker or oxygen tank, because usually I can outrun them. He just started doing this to my left boob, like just boop, 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 and I froze. I'm also a good Canadian, and I'm like, I don't know how long this guy has.
Don't want to make
him
feel awkward.
I didn't, and so I just kept talking to the organizers, like, oh, apple cider vinegar and lemon and hot water, yes, that sounds like a great... And I finally said, sir, it's not the life alert button. I'm going to need you to stop. But it went on like Family Guy long, like way
wow.
too long.
Wow.
I feel like minutes elapsed before I addressed what was happening. So I don't know if that
don't
counts.
Don't you admire a man that knows what he wants, though, Carla?
He became my third husband, obviously. We're very much in love, Terry. We are. It doubles as a first meet and greet story.
Terry, do you have any parts of your body that were ever poked by someone over the age of 80? We're just checking here.
I don't remember that, but I
well, what a loser.
Clearly, I haven't lived in LA long enough.
A quick one is I laugh at this sometimes when I'm alone in my car. I was sitting down with my friend Eric one time, and we were working on something, and I just kind of looked up in a daze, and I was like, how do you spell idiot? And I had completely blanked
awesome.
Out, and he was like, how do you spell idiot? And I was like, yeah, man, how do you spell
Y-O-U.
It? But I was really, really asking.
Do you know how to spell it today?
I do. I do know how to spell it today.
Spell irony?
I need a sound effect for a spelling contest here.
Colonel. And then lately, one of my favorite jokes is, why did the football team go into the phone booth, right?
Yeah.
Why? to get their quarterback.
I see you have a six-year-old.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Where do we find a phone booth?
My point is, and I don't know how it went down this. Well, that's the point. Yeah, I did. I said this to a teenager the other day. The other day, thinking I was cool, and they were like, what's a phone booth, man? And I was like, oh, my joke is
confusing the snowflakes. You're confusing them entirely.
That makes me feel old. That's right. People of a certain age have never seen a phone booth. Isn't that
shocking? No, they haven't.
My goodness.
I told this recently, I think 2 weeks ago, on this very program. I used to think I was so funny as a kid because I wanted to be a comedian. I thought I had that gift. I didn't, I don't think. But the joke that I would tell, my opening line, this is, I'm talking like I'm 6 or 7 years old, was, why don't they have any telephones in China? Do you know?
Why don't they?
Because there's so many wings and wongs, they're afraid they might wing the wrong number.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
It's silly.
Yeah. You know Brian Regan, a great stand-up comedian? Yes. Brian Regan tells the joke that he works all this time building these great jokes, and his son comes up to him about 4 years old and says, Daddy, I want to be a comedian too, and I've thought of my first joke. He says, why don't the dinosaurs talk? And Brian goes, wow, man, why don't the dinosaurs talk? And his old boy looks at him and says, because they're all dead, and walks away, which is always one of my... It's not only funny, but it's factually true,
yes.
Right?
You learn something from that joke.
Yeah.
Guys, what a fun show today. We want to remind our listeners to go out and check out Goonie, a world premiere play, playing now at the Atwater Village Theater, starting tonight for a Pay What You Can performance. And then, hey, do yourself a favor. Get out there and see this show during its regular run. Runs for 5 weeks at 8 p.m., and I believe it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, correct?
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 p.m.
Lots of chances to go see that show.
Which is perfect to go see Carla's show.
That's
Wednesday.
Right. You see Carla on Wednesday,
yes.
And you
it's
go see Terry on Thursday.
It's also a world premiere for
Gordon. It is
yes,
a world premiere.
Mine's
and
that's
a galaxy
at the, and that's at the White Fire Theater, of course, in beautiful Sherman Oaks. And as we said, go early. Check out some of the restaurants that are in and around that area. Swell restaurants. Mm-hmm. And call for tickets, though, before. And you can go onto the website and purchase your tickets. Murder Anyone at brownpapertickets.com.
Can I be super cheesy stand-up comic? I'll also be at the Federal Bar on
there
Friday, the 14th, April 14th. So it'll be a very good Friday at 8 p.m. And Andrew and I were talking before the show. It's a great venue.
And
Federal
if you want
Bar
to find
NoHo.
Out, it really, one of our favorites there, of course. Sterling's upstairs at the Federal there, and other great happenings there as well. If you want to find more about our guests, you can check out their websites. You can visit us on Facebook at State of the Arts. Michael, it was great to see you again.
Nice to see you.
And I'll look forward to seeing you where next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.